So I think most of us probably have a favorite scripture passage that may encompass the way we view our ministry or our lives. We stumble upon them in weird ways sometimes. And sometimes we come upon them as part of a task that we have to do. That was my case. For about 3.5 years ago when I was ordained, just shortly before I was ordained, we were told, you know, it's customary to make up prayer cards to give out at the ordination and at, you know, any of the receptions that go on after that. And after much searching and almost settling on another verse, I came upon what for me was the perfect verse. It was not unfamiliar to me, for I had studied before my formation. It was Christ-based, and therefore it was a goal lofty enough that I could never really achieve it. As a matter of fact, to think I had achieved it would have proved that I had missed the mark. But it was something that I could practice, something that would always move me closer to Christ. It was, I dare say, an awesome mission statement. So, and perhaps the astute of you in the audience may have guessed that there's probably a verse in today's readings or gospel that was one of them. So my mission statement was the first half of today's reading from Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. Although my mission statement included verse 5, which we did not read. It's too bad we didn't read it, as it contains, to me, a very important line. And I think it provides us with some guidance as to how we relate to each other. And for me, as a deacon, how I'm to relate to the community. It reads, "Have amongst yourselves in the same attitude that is also yours in Christ Jesus." And our reading continues, "Who though he thought he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave," etc. This attitude mentioned in verse 5 is a reminder to all of us that we are all to be aware that we are all in Christ. That is, we are all organically tied to Christ, as a limb is to in the body, or a branch is in a tree. And we are tied to each other as such, and are to treat each other as such. For when we are cognizant of this personal relationship with Christ, that is when we are living in him, and that is when we're in Christ. For it is then that we are humble, specifically I am humble, and aware of my connection to the community as a servant leader, not as an authoritarian figure. I am not God. The other important idea that this text pointed out for me as a deacon is this idea of emptying myself. I am to model Christ the servant, to be a slave, if you will, to my community. Now, all Christians are called by the virtue of their baptism to this life of self-emptying, giving their lives in service, diaconia, to others. It is just that those of us who are ordained to the diaconate are called especially to a ministerial diaconia, which is a sacramentalized self-emptying. So perhaps when you see a permanent deacon or a priest who was once a transitional deacon on the altar or elsewhere, you'll be reminded of your own personal call to diaconia. This mission statement contains other key ideas, most notably obedience, but specifically obedience unto death. Death, what can be in a horrible way. It offers me a reminder that my ministry and sometimes my life will often require an obedience to God in a way that will cause me to suffer as I die to myself, as Paul says elsewhere. I'm sure others can relate to this cost of discipleship that Dietrich Bonhoeffer spoke of. There is no cheap grace. In Jesus' case, this self-emptying of himself, this radical and complete divesting of worldly power and position, was Jesus' greatest show of power. For from it, sin and death were destroyed and Satan defeated completely. Think about that as you reflect during Holy Week and other times, of course, when contemplating the Lord's death and resurrection. And maybe it will offer you an answer to the question, why did Jesus have to suffer like this? You know, this self-emptying is what we call kenosis. And that is the emptying of one's own will and becoming entirely receptive to God and to the divine will. The search for this emptying out from within, this self-emptying, is the basis for all mysticism. From the Pustina tradition, which we heard a little bit here about in Incarnation a little while ago, and of the Russian Orthodox tradition, and the contemplatives, the Roman Catholic tradition, and even of Buddhists, among others. It is the opposite of what we do and have done since we were children, the very opposite. We grasp to fill. We grasp for power. We grasp for knowledge. And we grasp for godlike omniscience and omnipotence. We want control, for through control we believe that if we will know peace and happiness, we believe that if we arrange our lives just so, we will be happy. We grasp to fill that God-shaped hole in us that can only be filled by God, not by us. So hopefully, as we move through this most holiest of weeks, culminating in the Easter Vigil, we can use these verses from Philippians as a perspective from which to view the life of Jesus and perhaps our own. For as we know, this self-emptying of Jesus that Jesus demonstrated eventually led to his exaltation by God and his resurrection. Amen.